Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's all sorts of news. Matt Eberflus is out. Thomas Brown is in as the interim coach. We are going to discuss it on Spiegel and Holmes right damn now.
Clock is running with 15 seconds, and it's 3rd and 26. And yep. One timeout left.
This is like the light box. You could have gotten numbers, but just didn't.
You better hurry.
Oh, no.
Oh, this is disaster in the making here. You're going to have to do something when it comes down to this play. Incomplete, and the game is over. Completely botched at the end by the Bears.
I can't believe they didn't take a timeout.
I like what we did there. Again, once it's under 7, you know, you're gonna call timeout there, or actually under 12. And then really you don't have an option, because it's 3rd to 4th, you got to throw it into the end zone then. So to me, it's I think we handled it the right way.
What?
Significant changes for the Chicago Bears. For the first time in franchise history, they have made a move to fire their head coach during the season.
And that's what the Bears did earlier this morning. Welcome into the Spiegel and Holmes Show. I am Holmes of the Spiegel and Holmes Show. The Spiegel part is going to join me at 3 o'clock. We are here, and ordinarily we would not be because it's a day off for everyone. But it's a permanent day off for Matt Eberflus because he is no longer the head coach of the Chicago Bears. And we are going to be here to talk you through it, to talk about it, to get your reaction to it. The phone number is 312-644-6767. If you would like to jump in and be a part of the show, we appreciate you listening on the Odyssey app. Those of you who are also listening on the stream as well, we appreciate you for being here. I'm Lawrence, by the way. If you're new to me because you don't ordinarily listen this time of day, but you were off today and you're like, I want to see what the guys on the score are saying about all of this, it's appreciated that you are here. Thank you to Alex Kuhn and Sean Sears, the producers who were not expecting to do this show today. But damn it, we're going to do this show today. And we're going to do it because it needs to be done. So I'm here with you, and then we'll join the Black Friday game in progress later on. But we got a little bit of time to talk about everything that has gone on. I am happy that the Bears came to this decision and they bucked a century's worth of precedent when it comes to firing coaches during the season. There's a bunch of stuff that I want to talk about inside of this firing. So I need a little bit of space, but I am looking forward to your feedback on it. you've seen the way that this has gone over the last 2 months and how backwards it has gone. This needed to happen. It's shocking that the Bears as an organization were able to identify how much it needed to happen. But you cannot allow the type of coaching incompetence and malfeasance that went on inside of yesterday's game to continue. You have seen it over and over and over again over the last six games. And even before that, in games last year, like the Denver game, for example, you saw it. You saw it the year before. This coach, who they fired just this morning, has had two separate six-game losing streaks. Think about that. He hadn't even completed year three, and he had two separate six-game losing streaks. And they weren't six-game losing streaks because you were outmanned. That's the devil in the details yesterday is you played a game that looked like it was getting ready to be a blowout. And yet again, the guys in the locker room are able to rally and get you in a position to tie that game or win it. And the head coach of this team absolutely froze. Had this been the only thing that he had ever gotten wrong, then you could make an argument for keeping him. It's not. The list of things that Matt Eberflus can't do is long. And he earned his firing. Don't feel bad for him because he earned every bit of it. And we should probably at some point, maybe not today, but at some point we should start talking about his boss too. But Matt Eberflus earned his firing. The NFL is a league that is built on one score games. Look around the league. The best coaches are the ones who win them. He has not won them. And in a game where you are seemingly outmanned and outgunned, you had a chance to win it. And your coach froze. Your head coach froze in that moment. There's no other solution to the problem than the solution that the Bears put forth. How they went about doing that is another thing that we need to discuss because I think it's emblematic of how this organization has always been run. But to give you their side of things, this is the statement that the Bears put out there for public consumption today. It reads as follows. This morning, after meeting with Chairman George McCaskey and President Kevin Warren, we informed Matt of our decision to move in a different direction with the leadership of our football team and the head coaching position, Ryan Poles said. Poles went on to say, I want to thank Matt for his hard work, professionalism, and dedication to our organization. We extend our gratitude for his commitment to the Chicago Bears and wish him and his family the best moving forward. Close quote. That's a pretty boilerplate general manager statement about a firing of a coach. And again, at some point, we should probably talk about Ryan Poles as general manager of this team, but maybe not today. Then there's a statement inside here from Kevin Warren, which reads as follows. I support Ryan and the decision that was made this morning. We understand how imperative the head coaching role is for building and maintaining a championship caliber team, leading our players and our organization. Our fans have stood by us and persevered through every challenge, and they deserve better results. Our organization and operational structure is strong, focused, aligned, and energized for the future. That last sentence is corporate gobbledygook. And it's not true. But I want to go back to the sentence before that. Our fans have stood by us and persevered through every challenge, and they deserve better results. You damn right they do, Kevin. They deserve better results. And they deserve a better operation. And your operation is not strong. It's not structured. It's not focused, and it's not aligned. And that has been the case for a long time. Your job is to make sure that that now happens. And considering that you are now having an interim coach, saying that everything is aligned is a fallacy. You don't have to take that next step. You can just say what you said at the end. The statement should have ended with, they deserve better results. That should have been the end of the quote. Because now, like you've done in the previous two regimes, you draft a quarterback, and then by the end of the year, that coach that was there when you drafted him is gone. It happened with Mitchell Trubisky. It happened with Justin Fields. And unfortunately, it's happening for Caleb Williams. The beautiful thing is, maybe Caleb Williams is good enough that he's going to be able to overcome all of this nonsense. Part of the problem, in which why we should have a conversation about Eberflus' former boss, Ryan Poles, is that they were dependent on Caleb Williams to come in here and fix all of their problems without realizing and identifying what their problems were. And the problems go deeper than just a quarterback. What I mean by that is, look at how today played out. Look at how it played out. They let this man do a press conference when they knew they were going to fire him. And everyone knew that they should fire him. They let that dude waste everybody's time this morning. Everyone. And I'm not talking about just us. They wasted their own employees' time this morning by not being buttoned up. You should have known if that meant that they couldn't be with their families last night for Thanksgiving after they got home from Detroit, if it meant that Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren and George McCaskey couldn't cut the turkey, then that's what it should have been. He should have never been able to walk into Hallis Hall today. And so you did that. The guys there went through the meetings that they ordinarily go through after a game. And the front office knew that they were firing the head coach. What type of lack of leadership is that? It's a waste of everyone's time. Thomas Brown should have walked in this morning as the Bears interim head coach, instead of them all being in meetings, being told that they were going to be able to leave at noon to go be with their families, and a few minutes before that, the Bears deciding, you know what? Nah, we're just playing. He's fired. And now Thomas Brown and everyone else has to scramble to put together what they're going to do this weekend leading into next week's game. Emblematic of a terribly run organization. I had someone from another professional team who's been watching this from afar hit me up in the middle of this and give me some background on how stuff like this is supposed to be done. And this person said to me, how do they let Flus go to the podium and then fire him? How is Poles not the one this morning? He should be holding the session. This is the most insane way to do it. He may not be a good coach, but he seems like a nice man. Have some humanity. From a PR standpoint, this is the opposite of showing leadership. I don't get it. This is someone who works for another team in the league. This is what your team, like, and maybe it was important that it happened last night, yesterday afternoon, that they were so roundly embarrassed nationally that they had to act. That even though there had been the embarrassment of the Washington game, there had been the embarrassment of the end of the first half against Arizona, there had been the embarrassment on how they came out and quit against the Patriots. There had been the embarrassment of the blocked field goal that the Packers knew what to do. Then embarrassed again by the same thing because the Vikings did exactly what the Packers did and you didn't do anything to fix it. And then to be on an island where everyone is watching your game and to be embarrassed yet again because your coach...
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Froze. The whole thing is out of pocket. I'm glad that it's over. It doesn't mean that they don't have other things to fix. And the idea of a focus aligned and energized, no one's buying that brand, Kevin. Y'all got to prove it. And I'm hopeful. I want Thomas Brown to succeed. He seems exactly like the type of guy that should succeed. But until you realize that there are organizational things that you do that are rotten and you work on fixing those, see, Kevin Warren's supposed to be brought in here so that things like this morning don't happen. That's the point of him. That's the point of when we get excited about these jobs and these people that are being brought in. That's the reason Ted Cruz was brought in here from Kansas City, so that stuff like this doesn't happen. So there's a lot of buttoning up that they have to do. That doesn't have anything to do with Matt Eberflus. Let's talk with you. I've had my say for now. 312-644. Why are you laughing, Sean? Wait, I can't even hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I can. What? Why are you laughing at me?
I love seeing you get fired up, man, because you're right. You're 100% right. I feel that with you right now.
It's ridiculous.
And you might have called Ted Phillips Ted Cruz.
No.
And that was funny.
No, Ted Cruz is the head of communications.
Okay, that's amazing.
Yeah, not that Ted Cruz.
No,
the senator.
I just heard that. I'm like, wait a second. Wait,
no.
There's a Ted Cruz that works for the Bears?
Yeah. They brought him in from Kansas City. He was the guy that was kind of... in charge
that's
of all
right.
of
okay,
Patrick
person,
Mahomes' stuff.
Patrick Mahomes PR.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay,
yeah,
now I remember.
He's in here so that stuff like this doesn't happen.
No.
That's why you paid a premium to get him away from Kansas City. And you still, it doesn't seem to matter who you hire. They immediately get Bears.
They're still pretty bad at it either way, huh? Everyone just gets that stamp of Bears approval, right?
You walk in and you get Bears. So it's an important point, Alex. The senator from Texas is not in the Bears communication department.
Thank God.
Okay?
Just making sure.
No, I've seen the man. They are not the same. I promise you that. He's more Terry Crews than he is Ted Crews.
Different spelling. Okay.
Got it? All right, got cool. It. The boys are here. They're hanging out on the Spiegel and Holmes show. Let's take your phone calls. Hey, Paul, you're on the score.
Well, hello there.
Hi.
Well, I'd say your opinions and comments are spot on. Can you please tell us how you really feel?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. How do you feel?
Terrific. Well, anyway, as a Packers fan...
We're not doing that today. We're not doing that. I don't have time. Hi, James. You're on the score. James? I hear you in the background, James. My life for a Bears fan. Hey, Danny, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, dude. First of all, dude, I love you. I've always called and never got a chance to speak with you, so it's a freaking honor, bro.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, so here's what I was thinking. You were talking about how Trubisky and Fields, before Williams, had, like, one-year head coach, lame duck, get fired, have to learn a new system, right?
Yes.
So here's what I'm thinking, and I might be wrong, but I might be onto something here. Depending on how it goes the rest of the season, I'm not saying hire Thomas Brown as coach. Maybe bring in a defensive-minded coach like maybe Mike Vrabel and make Thomas Brown part of the deal, similar to what they did with Ditka and Buddy Ryan.
Well, let me tell you how I feel about that. I don't think that we have to jump to that place yet. I don't think that we have to jump to Thomas Brown being the only person who can get through to Caleb Williams. I'm curious to see how it works. I'm happy that he's got this runway over the next five games to prove if he can do this. But that doesn't mean that we now jump to, well, he's got to be part of some package for another coaching staff. Let's see. Remember, they were shut out in the first half of that game yesterday. There were problems. It got better in the second half, and that is encouraging. But just because he's the next guy doesn't mean that he's the next guy. Let's see how it plays out, too. 312-644-6767. Sean didn't line up another Packers fan, did he? I also think it's interesting that my screen right now is green and gold. Did you guys do that on purpose?
Yeah, you caught us.
I
want to get you riled up, man.
I see how the game is played. Oh, wait. This call is from Wisconsin. This next one I'm going to take. Let's find out. Let's find out together. Hey, Dave, you're on Spiegel and Holmes. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Yes. Do you know who my two votes would be for head coach that we fired Matt Eberflus?
Hold on. I got a question for you, first of all. Are you a Bears fan that's trapped in Wisconsin?
No, I'm a Bears. I'm a Chicago Bears fan from Slinger, Wisconsin. I'm a lifelong Bear fan, and I like them very much, and I'll always stick with them.
Okay.
Well,
just wanted to make sure that you weren't a Packers fan, because we don't need that today.
No, I'm not. I'm a Bears fan.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay, I've got this to say. I got two candidates, and let's take Ron Rivera. Who's familiar with the Bears and who led them to the Super Bowl 20 championship. I think he'd be an excellent one. And another one, what about John Gruden? Which one of the two would you pick?
I would pick neither, but I appreciate the phone call. I love Ron Rivera. I covered Ron Rivera when he was here. His limitations as a head coach are on the record. And I want nothing to do with John Gruden, and you shouldn't want anything for your players to do with John Gruden. Is this Bobby?
Baba. Hey, hey, Holmes. How you doing, man?
What's up, Baba? What's going on?
Happy Thanksgiving. You know, Lawrence, I go back to your days with me and Z. I'm also a DePaul alum, so
right on.
Go Blue Demons. I just have a question for you, and do you know how, and I'm sure you do, but do you know how exhausting it is to be a Bears fan? I mean, I have an 8-year-old son. I feel like it's almost a disservice to kind of groom him to be a Bears fan. I mean, year after year, we're just accustomed to failure. Does it make me a bad Bears fan? Because I was actually rooting for Eberflus to lose and for the offense to progress just because I wanted – it had to be so bad, it had to be so brutal for them to be kind of forced to hands, right? So, I mean, I'm happy that we kind of made progress in that direction. But, again, this is horrible. I mean – and then also another question for you, Holmes, here is, do we root for them to win or lose? Because, I mean – do we want a better graphic? Do we want Thomas Brown to look good? And then another question is, why would another coach want to be married to Poles where we know he's a lame duck, right?
All right. Let me try to go down the list. Yes, you are a bad Bears fan for subjecting your kid to that. Let them choose who they want to be. You don't have to actively make them a fan. They'll gravitate towards it because you're gravitating towards it. Secondly, what was the other thing you want to talk about? Oh, so you root for them to lose. I think that I hate that. I hate that that's become a thing over the last decade. I really do. Here's what I would tell you to root for. Continued development of Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze. Because those are the guys that contractually and DJ Moore. Those are the guys that you're contractually committed to on that offense. And there's a lot of things to be super. Caleb Williams hasn't thrown an interception in 2 months, y'all. That's a rookie quarterback that hasn't thrown an interception in 2 months. And I know that the first 7 games of the season, everyone just said Jaden Daniels is the rookie of the year. And I know that over the last 4 games of the season, everyone's trying to tell you that Bo Nix is the rookie of the year. Fam, the rookie of the year plays for the Bears. And you should be excited about that. I want what's ever best for him. If that's Thomas Brown, cool, but he still has to prove it. No jobs should just be given away right now. He still got work to do. That offense still didn't look right until the end, and let's keep it a buck. He's the offensive coordinator. The plays should be going from him into Caleb's helmet. And they still sat there and wasted 26 seconds yesterday. That's on his watch, too. 312-644-6767. Y'all know that, Alex, did you know where I was supposed to be today?
Yeah, no, actually.
I was supposed to be at the DePaul game today.
That's right. You told me you were heading over to Wintrust.
Yeah, DePaul just beat Valpo.
You told me the other day you think they're going to be like an NIT team, so you were excited to go see them for the first time this year.
They're 8-0. And I missed that because I wanted to be here with y'all.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
I told Mitch, I said, look, you know what it is, calling someone in on their off day.
Yep.
That's an automatic comp day.
Mm-hmm.
But I also told him I want great seats for the DePaul game of my choice.
Some courtside DePaul.
They're our partner, and I'm an alum and faculty.
For like the UConn game, maybe?
I don't even know. Whenever it lines up with my schedule.
I was going to say, if there's someone that probably should be hooked up with tickets.
I mean, I know a couple of guys.
Yeah, you think you might know?
But still, I also know Mitch. Mitch knows more
guys
than I do.
Yeah, Mitch knows a couple guys.
Just saying, I could have been over there celebrating. We 8-0 for like the first time in ever.
Crazy, man, right? Since like the 80s, right?
I know. But no, I got to deal with Matt Eberflus and his nonsense.
You got to talk to Mark Grody about this at some point. He's a big DePaul guy.
He's an ISU guy. He doesn't count. He's in the Hall of Fame at ISU. So is Chris Ronji.
I've heard of that a few times.
Yep. Still waiting on my call to the Hall of Fame, DePaul. Still waiting on it. Hey, Jack, you're on the score.
Guys, how you doing?
We're good. What's on your mind?
So, yeah, I just want to calm this down. Everyone's trying to jump to the next guy. I know we're going through a lot. I think it's important to mourn, but you guys bring up a lot of good points. I think we're all on the same page. You know, stop the insanity. It's a good thing they fired him midseason. They can do it. It's okay. But, you know, when you look, I said he should have got fired before he even got to the locker room yesterday. That's uncalled for. It's an exclamation point on the mistakes. as far as the McCaskies go, you know, we're looking at private equity jumping in to buy teams, and you look at the Dodgers, it starts getting interesting. I mean, but you really have to attract the best people, the best talent, which in a competitive world. The O-line's garbage. You got to call this out. I mean, you know, I'm glad he hasn't thrown a pick, but he's throwing balls into the fourth row right now because he doesn't have the time.
So wait. So what you're saying is you're not impressed with what Caleb Williams has done?
No, I love the guy. He's just getting killed back there.
Okay, because you know? It kind of sounded like you were starting to go down a road of like you weren't impressed. You should actually be more impressed. If you think the offensive line is that bad, you should be more impressed with what he's doing, not less impressed.
I'm impressed with him. God bless him. And you know what? My favorite athlete ever was Sweetness because he worked through one of the worst teams, and they built up a program where he was like a co-coach. He would keep the guys in the game engaged. They wind up with the best team ever in history, 85 Bears. That's a vibe. That's a rally. And when you got guys going into the press room saying the same stupid things over and over again, and they're not showing any results, you know, I mean, there's a reason why stuff gets out of control. The defense did a good job of keeping a lot of points off the board. That forced fumble was huge to keep them in the game. But, I mean, you know, as a Bears fan, I bet the over on the Lions. So I wanted the field goal. If I would have got the field goal, they win. But you have to stop yourself from buying into the insanity. And I think they did that, which is a good step. But it's going to take time to mesh the right guy. I mean, say what you want about Rivera. Maybe his time's passed. Mike Norvell actually built up a program.
No, thank you. You want to take one of the worst coaching jobs in college football this year and make them the head coach of the Bears? Okay.
No, don't do that.
Yeah.
I know Mike Norvell. No, don't do that.
It's fine. Here's the thing. We don't have to hire anyone for the Bears right now. Those candidates that you're talking about that are on the street or working in college football, they're still going to be there 5 weeks from now. Let Thomas Brown do whatever it is that he's going to do, and let's see where he's at the end of this. And there will be plenty of people who want the Bears job because of Caleb Williams. I will tell you that I know for a fact there are plenty of people who don't want anything to do with the Bears job because they're the Bears. And ask yourself this question. When you do get to the point where you start thinking about all of these dream scenarios of hiring coaches, there are going to be a lot of jobs that are going to be available. One, do you think the Bears job is going to be attractive to people versus other jobs? And two, do you expect the Bears to win a bidding war for a coach that they want? Just think about that for a second. Marcus, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, man. I'm a big fan of yours ever since you were doing the solo show. I just want to finally say thank you, Chicago Bears, for doing the right thing, man. I think we need a church drum roll for the Bears finally find a coach in season. Have a great day, man.
Thank you very much. It's the little things, right? The little things that I am surprised that they broke with precedent, but they really had no choice. Embarrassment after embarrassment after embarrassment after embarrassment after embarrassment after embarrassment. Was that six? Should I do like Booker T? Five time, and then a sixth time for the Bears. So, look, they did what they needed to do, but they had to be bullied into this. The Bears had to be pushed into this. I felt like when the Washington thing happened and people's first reaction was fire Eberflus, that's a little much. But the follow-up in the Arizona game? And then Man. That Patriots game. Oh, my Jesus. That thing. You talk about not having a team prepared. And here's what I keep coming back to. Over these last 6 weeks, if you just finish two of those games, if you just are able to finish two of the six, we are having some very different conversations about the Bears. Now, the beauty of it is them not being able to finish even two of those six games means that Matt Eberflus's ass is up out of here, which is a good thing. But unfortunately, at the end of the rainbow, there's the same group of people trying to figure out how to make things work. And the reason that I point out, because there are people like, well, it doesn't matter, in the press conference, here's why it matters. It shows you that from an organizational standpoint, there are still problems. That the way you do things matters. How you do stuff matters. For example, por ejemplo, let's say you're a head coaching candidate. Let's say you're Ben Johnson. You know what happened in yesterday's game. You saw that man freeze up right in front of you yesterday. Then you're like, wait, why did dude do a press conference? They fired him 2 hours after doing a press conference? No, I'm good. I'm good on that. You guys act like you wouldn't feel the same way. If you heard that an employer that you were going to go, that if you had your options, if you had choices between multiple employers and you saw one employer treats people one way and pays people one way and another employer pays people another way and treats people terribly, which one would you choose? You wouldn't choose a heritage company just because it was a heritage company, if that's how they got down. And you know this, man. Do I have to break or can we keep going?
You can go as long as you want, or we can break. It is up to you.
No, man, let's keep going.
Well, let's keep going then.
Hey, Frank, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, how you doing?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
I've been a fan of the Bears for 50-some years. And, you know, I know Eberflus, you know, he's not a game manager. I mean, he did good with the defense without players, you know, getting hurt. You don't fire him on Thanksgiving. You know, as bad as I've went through so many bad teams and so many bad decades, you don't do that. Now, I'm going to give the Bears a little bit of
why don't you do that?
Because, man, he's got family. Look at all the stuff that happens with Nagy and stuff and his family, his kids that.
Hey,
and
Frank.
Plus, it's just
Frank.
Thanksgiving. Give it a few hours to think about it.
What more did you think that he deserved to be fired, Frank?
Yes.
So why would you wait?
A few weeks ago. Because
Wait, you mean to tell me that even though you would have fired him a few weeks ago, that the thing that would have kept you from firing him is Thanksgiving?
I'm waiting till today. I'm firing him today.
He was fired today.
See what I know, and I know I understand about that he did the Zoom call and stuff. But, you know, I'll give them a little credit that maybe, just maybe, nobody knows that they were all sitting in the office. What is the best team thing going for the team? Is it to, let's get together. Should we make Brown? Because maybe we want his sole attention is on Caleb. Or do we check and see maybe Brown's our future head coach if he can do both? Or should we let Eric Washington or who's the other guy, Callahan and stuff?
Yeah, but here's the thing. They could have made all of those decisions last night. Like, even in the scenario that you're painting, they could have made the decision last night and informed him, since Thanksgiving is a thing for you, is a trigger for you, they could have made the decision last night and fired him first thing in the morning.
Okay, I mean that's possible, but then they still had meetings today, right?
Right.
Maybe. Right. Remember this morning. I've been listening to you guys all day. I listen to you guys all day at work.
I need you to listen to me right now, Frank.
All right.
They went through meetings with the staff intact the way that it was. It was a waste of time, Frank. That's what I'm saying. Had you fired Eberflus this morning, had you not allowed him to speak publicly, you could have gained more hours to allow your team to get ready.
Yeah, I get your point.
It doesn't seem like you do, but that's okay. I appreciate you checking in anyway. Like, if you don't want to fire him on Thanksgiving, Matt Eberflus is getting every dime. Trust, he's getting every dime. And I know enough ex-players to tell you that the ex-players get cut whenever, wherever, and no one cares about them. Matt Eberflus is walking out of here with millions of dollars. And the only reason that his reputation is in tatters is because of stuff that he did. There are not many, many ways that I'm going to, you'll hear me defending the Bears, but I am not going to cry for Matt Eberflus. And nor should you. Hey, Jack, you're on the score.
Hey, I got a question for you. I've been listening to you guys for hours now.
Great,
now,
thank you.
Nobody has brought up the two idiots that didn't even bring Harbaugh into the building. He would have changed this entire organization. He was the silver bullet. He was the guy that developed young quarterbacks. And by the way, I don't know if you know this, he has the best winning percentage in the last 20 years of all NFL coaches. How did they put out a statement? They're not interested in talking to him. They kept
I literally said that earlier in this show that you're listening to.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
You said you were listening all day, sir. Come on. Don't call here with the thing that no one's talking about. We've literally done segments on Jim Harbaugh for weeks. And we mentioned Ryan Poles being like, he's the head coach at Michigan. And not wanting him. Come on, man. Why people got to act like they're the ombudsman of this show? I do this every day. I have to break now?
You don't have to. We were just figured if you want to, you could. I mean, if you want to, you could. If you want to talk to some more people, we got plenty of people here.
No. Let's take a break. We'll take a quick break. Spiegs, by the way, said that he might check in at 3 o'clock.
Oh, Matthew Spiegel.
Right?
What do he think?
I want to get his thoughts on it for sure. But if you would like to talk and you're not a Packers fan, this is a forum for Bears fans today. We're not doing that dumb bleep. We're not doing that. Well, I'm so sad that they got rid of Eberflus because that meant two more victories for the pick. We're not doing that. We're not hearing from any punk-ass shareholders today. How about that? 312-644-6767 is the number. We're talking about the Bears moving on from Matt Eberflus. We're taking your reaction to it. Spiegel and Holmes here on the score.
So, Matt, you have certainty that you're coaching the 49ers game?
The operation's been normal, Jason, in terms of debrief after the game, coming in, grading the tape, meeting with the coordinators, and it's been normal operation.
That pause was about 7.5 months pregnant.
I kept that in there on purpose.
Thank you, Alex. Alex and Sean working here on the holiday. So am I. This is the Spiegel and Holmes show. I'm Lawrence Holmes. For those who are new to the show, welcome. For those of you who don't know how I get down, damn it, this is how I get down sometimes. And we're going to have some fun. And we're going to take your phone calls. And sometimes your phone calls are going to get challenged. This is just how it goes. When you say crazy stuff, I have to push back on it. And we're not talking to any Packers fans today because it's none of their damn business. First guy, the Packers, I'm a Packer. No, we're not doing that today, sir. Enjoy your win. Your team looks really good. They could be the dark horse in the NFC. But stay out of Chicago Bears business. We got our own problems. Don't need your dumb asses getting involved in the conversation. Adding nothing. I got a thing on my wall. It's a share. I'm an owner. You're not an owner. You just gave, you might as well have got one of those stars named after someone. At least the star is real. Hey, Justin, you're on the score. Justin, I hear you back there. He can't make
Hello?
It. Oh, there he is. Hey, Justin, you're on the score. What's up?
Hey, I live in the suburbs of Detroit, so I watched the game, and of course, but it's so like growing up as a Lions fan, there was a thing called.
We're not doing that either. Like, who are these people? I don't know about y'all. I don't have time for this. We're not taking the North in this segment. I'm talking to Bears fans. Hey, James, you're on the score. Are you a Bears fan?
Lawrence, I'm a Bears fan, a long-suffering one.
All right, good. You're exactly the type of person I wanted to talk to. Go ahead.
I appreciate that. So one of the things that has been disturbing, you know, besides the repeated incompetence in picking head coaches, is the staggered cycle of head coach, offensive coordinator, and quarterback. And so you know, that's always been a problem, is that they've never been sync, and that, you know, culture takes a long time to build, and the continuity and the lack of continuity in the organization has always been a problem. So I guess my question for you is, what are your metrics for success for a new coach, whether it's in Thomas Brown in the interim or a new head coach after that? Not just, you know, maybe it's playoffs, maybe it's winning record, maybe it's soft factors like leadership. But what are those metrics, and how long do you give those candidates time to evaluate and achieve those?
So wait. I want to just make sure that I've got what you want clear. So when it comes to Thomas Brown, what are the metrics that I'm looking at? Or what am I looking at with Thomas Brown and other candidates?
I'm curious about both. What your expectations are for determining whether Thomas Brown's a success by the end of the season, what those would be.
Okay.
But whether he's the head coaching candidate or not, suppose they just go in an entirely different direction after this season. How long do you give a new head coach to establish whatever your standard of success is? Because, you know, there may be a regression with a new coach.
Okay, yeah. All right, I got you now. Thank you, James. I appreciate the phone call. When it comes to Thomas Brown, as long as the offense continues to progress, I'm happy. And now he gets an opportunity. Here's the thing about Thomas Brown. Thomas Brown has been one of these guys that's quietly been a head coaching candidate. He's one of those, I don't want to say wunderkind, but he's one of those type of guys where people can look at him and go, you know, that guy eventually is going to be a head coach. He's a bit of an anomaly, too, for a lot of reasons. But one of the most stark ones is, look around the NFL and find the offensive coordinators of color. There are not a lot of those. So usually when it comes to black coaches, they usually make their way up on the defensive side. So he's an anomaly in that way. This guy has the seal of approval from Sean McVay. McVay had made him associate head coach with the Rams. He's a former player, so he can speak their language in that way. I just want to see that some of the decision-making makes sense. The offense doesn't regress. I do think that it's a tad unfair that we are going to judge Thomas Brown, and he might not quite be ready to be a head coach yet. Along with being the play caller for the offense, that's something that should be left to the legends. That's just my opinion. If you're Andy Reid and you want to be a head coach and call plays, Andy Reid has proven that he can do that. There are not a lot of people in the game that can do that. So the level of difficulty for Thomas Brown is a little bit higher than it should be. But I'm rooting for him, man. I really am. I think he's sharp. I think that he's passionate. I think he cares. And I think he's got good ideas. But he still has to prove that he can do the job. And the sucky part about this is that it's possible that he does prove that he deserves to be a candidate and the Bears end up hiring someone else. And it's, I wouldn't even be mad if the hire makes sense. It's the terrible hand that he has been dealt as someone who's had to do this in Carolina and now has to do this with the Bears. As far as other candidates go, James, I would say Thomas Brown's getting his experience as a head coach, and it's not a lot. I would like someone with some experience as a head coach, unless they are someone that is so far beyond from a strategic standpoint that it makes sense. Like if we're talking about Ben Johnson, I'm not going to be mad that he doesn't have an NFL head coaching resume or a head coaching resume. You know what I mean? But there's a lot. There's still a lot to figure out. There are no answers right now, and that's okay. The most important thing happened. Eberflus is out, and now it's a matter of how do you go about figuring out the rest of this stuff. Down to Champaign and Jacob. Hey, Jacob, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, how are you?
I'm good, man. What's up?
You know, hey, I wanted to talk a little bit about management style and culture as it relates to the Bears organization here. You know, the much maligned Jerry Krause probably made the worst comment a GM could ever make, organizations win championships, but he was probably right, you know, in some large extent. And you know, I've been around a lot of companies, run them or dealt with them. And just like any company, you know, if I'm dealing with people, you know, at the ground level, and they don't really care about the customers, they don't really care about the company, and there's dysfunction, it doesn't take long to find your way to the top and realize the owners, the management, that's them. That's their culture. I mean, the culture starts from the top, and, you know, it's always going to be that way. And until they fix this with whether it's McCaskey or whatever, I think they'll always struggle culture-wise.
Well, here's the thing, though. They own the team. There's no fixing that. I'm sorry. I know that the reflex of a lot of people who call the score is to try to point out to me or Spiegs or Haw or Mully or Dan or Layla or Marshall and say, guys, you're missing the big picture. It's the McCaskies. Congratulations. Now let's go to level two of that. Are the McCaskies leaving? No, they're not. I mean, I guess it's possible, it's plausible that if Virginia dies, and I'm going to say if, because she's going to outlive us all. If Virginia dies, depending on how the shares of the Bears are structured in the family, it's possible that they sell. But from what I was told, one of the last things that Ted Phillips did was protect them from that. And I would imagine that the new administration that's coming in is probably going to protect some of those rights of, you know, your of the taxes on that. So we'll see. They're not going anywhere is my point. So what you have to hope for, and it sucks, this is the problem when someone else owns something that you love. You have to hope that Kevin Warren knows more about football than he has shown us. A lot of that hope was placed in Ryan Poles. And if we reverse things 4 months ago, some of y'all were out here calling that man King Poles. Doesn't seem very kingly right now, does he? y'all saw it. Y'all saw it on Twitter and Instagram. Any picture of Ryan Poles, there's King Poles. Oh, my God. He fleeced the worst organization in football. And he backed this coach when he shouldn't have. And like I said, this isn't the day for him. His day is coming. This isn't the day for him. So now, if your faith in Ryan Poles has been shaken a little bit because of the way that you've seen this thing go, now, because the McCaskies aren't going anywhere, now your hope has to be in Kevin Warren. Now you have to go, okay, Kevin Warren's a newcomer. Kevin Warren is looking at this with clearer eyes than other people. He's now made them do something that they've never done before. Fire a coach in the middle of a season. And now you have to trust that he will then continue that and give Thomas Brown an actual opportunity, go through the interview phase, and maybe he decides at the end of this, I can't continue with Ryan Poles as the general manager of this team. Because he wants the organization to be aligned. And I'm sorry, that's where this is. And that's where it always ends up. And I know that you think that you're doing something that we haven't thought of when it comes to taking it all the way up to the McCaskies. They're not going anywhere. So the hope is that they hired someone who's really smart and has figured out now 2 years on the job how to do the job. I have no evidence that that is the case. Except for this data point. And now we see where things go. Is it a bleak picture that I am painting you? Yes, and I'm sorry. But when someone else owns something that you love, this is where you end up. More of your phone calls, and we're going to talk with Matt Spiegel. He joins us next. Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score.